It's Thursday, March 27th, 2014, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 55, perfect episode title. Runtime for this episode is 43 minutes.
Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast that plays their assignments. My name is Jeremy.
I'm Tyler. This is the first time we've had a flawless start in like five attempts at recording.
I'm Zach, and this is the first time I've actually played the game before Wednesday night.
Yeah, you should be better about that. I think when we do Link to the Past, I'm going to give us a point we have to get to before the first week is over and then do it over 2 weeks.
And just like do another one in between or something?
No, I think do it over 2 weeks. Link to the Past is meaty enough. We can do that.
I'll still probably never get to that to the point.
Well, that's why we'll force you to. You're not allowed on the podcast if you don't get there. Or something. We'll make you show your work. Do the damn assignment.
But League.
Yeah, it's good, but Link is cool too.
Tell you what. This time next Thursday, I want a written report on the fourth dungeon. And,
No.
I would go till we get the Master Sword, which is only three dungeons.
Indeed. Although, that feels like the halfway point in the game.
I think it's more like the one third, but it's story-wise, it's the half point.
Indeed.
So.
Just the second half of the game is way more than a half.
Yeah.
Although, there's like the sweet fairy island. I'm excited for that. Anyway,
Not yet, sadly. We played a good game this week, so I have to push it back.
I have to choose something terrible. Don't worry, I will choose something terrible for us.
Okay. I've been playing The Assignment and Life Sucks and Then You Die. And that's pretty much it this week. What about you, Tyler?
All sorts of stuff. I finished Catherine, which was
How was that? It is a game. It's the best semi-erotic block puzzle game I've ever played. Yeah,
that is true.
I'm going to bow out, go get a beer while these guys talk about this.
This was actually the first game developed by Atlas's own in-house development studio, so that's cool. I'm excited to see other stuff from them, because this, if nothing else, this was a unique game. Oh, no. It was interesting. I got the good Catherine with a K ending.
Okay, I think that's the one I got when I played through as well.
It wasn't the perfect Catherine with a K ending, but yeah. I then went and watched all the endings in no particular order.
The one where you go to space because chicks suck is probably my favorite.
Well, there seems to be like a level of I don't know, it's weird. So the really good ending for Catherine with a K is you get married and like everyone's like getting their lives together at the end of the game in this like ending cutscene. The one where you're like, women, you go to space on a spaceship. I'm like, okay, these things seem to jive. The other one, you go and become ruler of the Netherworld, this Gaia's style.
I was trying to get that one, but accidentally got the one where Catherine with a C dumps you because you're a good guy and she's not into that.
You're too good. You're not chaotic enough.
You're kind of boring.
Yeah, no, the true ending for that is her dad ambushes you at the bar and he's like a 6-foot demon with incredible eyelashes and you like go and become ruler of hell because you're so good at seducing succubi.
Yeah.
And like I feel like this doesn't really, it's like not the same scope as the other endings.
Like this seems like another game maybe.
It kind of comes out of nowhere.
It's a secondary game that they actually wanted to make, but they didn't get funding for that game, so like, well, we'll just put it as an ending in this other game.
It is a thing that would happen in Atlas games. So.
And this is the same world as Persona.
Wait, the same world?
Yeah.
Did they say that?
Yeah, he shows up first in Persona 4 as like a cameo.
Oh, before. Really?
Yeah. Huh. Where he's like, oh, I can't sleep, and my girlfriend,
Just like that.
Yes.
By he, I assume you mean Vincent. I thought at first you meant Catherine's father.
No, yeah, Vincent. Stephen Blum.
Okay.
It's been long enough that I don't remember the character's name, other than Catherine and Catherine.
But yeah, there's Catherine and Catherine and Orlando, red fedora hat guy.
Oh yeah. All your sweet bar friends and the transvestite waitress.
Yep. So you have one friend who's like 10 years younger than the rest of you, and he starts hitting on this waitress who's actually a post-op tranny. But he's a virgin, and then he has sex with her, and it's like, yeah, but something felt weird. I don't know what. And everyone's like, ugh, anyway, because everyone else knew her before she had her sex change, so. It's pretty awesome.
What did you think about the mechanics?
Of the block puzzling?
Yeah.
I don't know. They were a puzzle. I was expecting to be a lot more like Hubert, but, I don't know. I never found the game terribly hard. I mean, there were some points where I got stuck and had to, like, try 5 or 6 times, but I don't know. The game wasn't terribly difficult.
Yeah.
The block puzzling, like all the techniques that they teach you at the landings, I'm like, isn't that just like part of the game? Like,
yeah, pretty much, but you know, it's like tutorialing.
A little
there
bit.
There are things you can do. And often I would like forget the one that was relevant at first.
I definitely did that a couple times, but there ended up being like 2 techniques that I just use over and over again.
Yeah, like the cycloning one where you pull blocks out is just super useful in most places.
Yeah, but there's one where you pull a block out, climb on top of it, pull the one out immediately on top of it, then pull the bottom one out. That's like you use that everywhere. So I don't know. It was fun. I'm glad it wasn't any longer than it was because I was starting to get burnt out on it towards the end, but it was like the exact right length, at least for me. But
that's always good.
I don't know. It was fun. I like the karma mechanic, just answering questions. I wasn't playing online, so I got to see what people answered based on a random poll of people 20 to 40 off the internet.
Yeah.
As soon before the game was released, which was interesting. I'm apparently a lot more chaotic than most people. So
no, I never would have guessed. God, you chaotic?
To play Walking Dead.
I know.
At the end, it tells you what all your things were in percentages of people that made those choices. And
oh, is it cumulative over the entire time it's been played, too?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I only played the first episode, and mine were basically along the same lines as everybody did.
So Zach is generic gamer guy.
Yeah.
So, the first one is basically all obvious choices.
Outside of
do you rescue the dumb chick or the super smart dude?
Huh. That seems like a tough decision.
Dumb chick's got a gun.
Oh, okay, that's actually a tough decision now.
Well, but she also couldn't figure out that maybe the radio doesn't work because she didn't put batteries in it. And then when you give her the batteries, she puts them in wrong, and she's like, it's still broken. That's how dumb she is. Whereas the smart guy took a remote control, he knew all the universal remote codes, and was able to turn on all the TVs in the electronics store across from the where you are hiding to distract the zombies.
Yeah, I'd go with that guy. That's an incredibly specific thing to know. But
there's the reason I chose the girl is she also knows your dark history, and I wanted someone who knew in my corner in case it came
in case
to
it was
light.
Relevant.
Yeah, and I also found that interesting.
I should definitely play this at
you
some
should,
point. But
it's good.
I also picked up Okami for a bit.
I hear that's really good, but it's sort of...
I got the PS2 version, so... Well, I didn't get it on the DS when it first came out because I didn't have a DS then.
I thought the PS2 was the original, and then it then came to Wii and then DS.
Well, having played it on the PS2, I think the DS is the only way to play it because I stopped after about an hour. Although it's not a bad game. It actually feels a lot like Devil May Cry in terms of how you move around and like do stuff.
Yeah, it actually kind of gave me that.
Runs and fire guns?
Fewer guns, more wolves, but...
Yeah, you play a wolf with an art brush, a paintbrush, that's what it's called.
I've seen it in Marvel vs. Capcom, thank you.
And a magic bug, who is not in Marvel vs. Capcom. But the thing I'm more excited to play more of, I haven't gotten very far in it yet, is Windforge, which is like Terraria if it were steampunk with sky whales.
Huh.
You can build your own airships out of like...
Sky whales, are those like Star Walls?
Similar, except not in space. They're basically just whales with wings, but you're like in post-industrial, well, I guess standard steampunk setting, you're running out of fuel because your major fuel source is sky whales. And you harvest sky whale oil, but you're like hunting them to extinction. But apparently there was some precursor race that you need to go get the ancient power source of, but it's taboo to even talk about it. So you work for an anti-religious organization to go get the ancient power source so you can stop killing out the sky whales. Also, you start with a grappling hook, and it's the best thing ever.
Grappling hooks are pretty good.
Minus like, the sky whales, this sounds a lot like Bioshock Infinite.
Very similar idea, but totally different setting. Like, it feels not anything like that. Less decay, I guess.
Infinite doesn't have much decay at first.
Well, less societal.
Corruption.
It has barbershop quartets that sing Beach Boys songs.
Now, this is a lot more, I don't know.
Okay.
It's pretty steampunk, but you get a grappling hook that's gas-powered so you can go up and down on it and, like, launch yourself off of walls and stuff.
That's not specifically steam-powered?
No, it's actually whale oil-powered, but actually, steam engines have been largely replaced by diesel engines at this point because sky whales.
Okay.
But you can also build your own airships, which is really cool, and there are, like, 6,000 different things you can craft.
That's cool.
Which is, it's ridiculous.
PC game?
Yeah, it is PC. It's, like... I think it was like $10 on Steam. It's made in Flash, though. It runs off of Unity, which is the same game Star Wars runs in. So, and it looks like a Flash game, which is a little bit off-putting, but I like it so far, so.
Cool.
That's really it.
All right. What have you been playing, Zach?
Well, I haven't been playing anything that looks like it was made in Flash, and I really hope they didn't make Titanfall in Flash, because they did a really, really good job on that.
Why do you hope they didn't make it in Flash? Imagine how awesome that would be.
That would be awful, for one thing.
Why? Why would that be awful?
That Titans being those blocky Flash things?
It doesn't have to be blocky. That's just how limited most people's artistic ability to make dynamically moving objects.
Regardless, I've been playing Titanfall. I got it on Tuesday is when I bought it, but because of downloads and whatnot, I downloaded it while I was at work and over the night, so I didn't get to play it until Wednesday. Guys, if you can run it on your computers, I'd get it. I would not advocate buying a $600 Xbox One at this point for it.
They're only $500, to be fair. I would not advocate buying a $600 Xbox One from anyone.
I thought they were $600.
No, they are $500.
Oh, and the PS4s are $400?
Yes.
Either way, I wouldn't advocate buying a $500 Xbox One. I mean, you could just wait 2 weeks for it to come out on the 360.
What about a $500 picture of an Xbox One on eBay?
I heard about that.
That's just dumb.
Some guy bought one.
I know.
And then tried to sue.
To be fair, usually eBay will reverse those.
Yeah, I think that's what they ended up doing, was reimbursing them or something. But
the game is great. I mean, I've done pretty well as an AT. I'm not very good in the Titans, but I've done fairly well at killing them on foot with the anti-Titan rocket. But it seems like a lot of people don't understand just how good that is.
Do the Titans behave fundamentally differently? Like, do they feel different when you're controlling them?
Not really. They can't jump, but they slide around. They have a dash that they can use to get out of the way.
Oh, that's
They've got a shield that'll catch incoming projectiles. I played catch with one guy because he was shooting at me, so I dropped my shield, caught them all, and then shot them back at him. He dropped his shield and caught them all and shot them back.
Oh, can he actually, like, reflect the things that he catches on the shield?
It's sort of like telekinesis. You hold them for a second, and then when you release the shield, you throw them.
Okay, that's cool.
My Titan has a rocket pod on it, too, which I think all Titans start with. I think you can unlock more stuff. And a single-shot semi-automatic rifle is what mine carries.
Have you had any sweet Titan rides?
I was riding on one Titan that I think got killed because I died. I didn't realize it was in such bad health because I accidentally got on it. But the wall running, the movement mechanics are just amazing. Like, it feels so natural to go running along and go, huh, there's a gap coming up, and then just run along the wall to get across it.
So it's Prince of Persia with guns and robots.
Yes.
Best game ever. Well, the only thing I have a problem with, there's no single player. The only single player, at least on the PC, is the training module at the beginning of the game. Everything else is multiplayer. The campaign is a two-sided multiplayer affair. I have won, I think, one game so far. But I also had the Pyrrhic victory on one. Me and two other guys, we lost the mission, but we managed to get to the chopper. We got to the chopper!
So it was
great because when you escape, it pops up on the screen and says, this guy escaped, this guy escaped, this guy escaped. And you all get in it and you're like, yes, we win. And it goes flying off and it's really cool.
Although if it doesn't get, like if it gets blown up before it flies off, then.
I don't know. Ours didn't get blown up. I got away.
I feel like it's probably really hard to do, but.
Probably.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, it's a cool feature because you have that mad dash. And if you die, you already lost. What does it matter?
I can tell you what Yahtzee is going to think of this game. He's going to think it's horrible because it has no single player.
Yeah, probably.
He never reviewed League of Legends, did he?
No, he never
probably did. Would not like it, just given his tastes. Although, the way he consumes art, he might.
That was the other game I've been playing a lot of this week, is League of Legends.
Well, Titanfall is a much better segue, so let's ignore that. Who here played GoldenEye on the N64?
Everyone's hand is raised.
Maybe. No, my hand isn't raised.
Wait, what?
I played it once at some kid's birthday party. One game.
Really?
Like, long enough to realize that Z was shoot is about how long I played GoldenEye.
The first time I played GoldenEye was at my cousin's birthday party.
I feel that's
when he chipped his tooth.
I owned it. Although, I guess when we met, the N64 was kind of outmoded, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I forgot about that.
For a long time, because when me, Chris, and Jeremy would get together, we'd play Perfect Dark a lot.
And this is, you know, sort of forward fasting, but I remember the first time you and I hung out, like, without other people, we played Time Splitters.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the game the guys who made Perfect Dark went off and made when they left Rare.
And that was a pretty good game. Although
very
we did,
similar.
We did get stuck in Chicago.
Well,
so.
Yes, very similar to my feelings on Perfect Dark, actually.
Yeah, actually, now that you mentioned it, totally.
I mean, playing Perfect Dark, I definitely can tell, oh yeah, people who made Time Splitters definitely made this game.
I don't think I've ever played Time Splitters.
It's like Perfect Dark, but except with better graphics and...
A little bit more cartoony. Although it has a similar cavalcade of
I think
random
it's just
weapons.
Perfect Dark is trying to be serious, despite having an alien named Elvis, and Time Splitters isn't actually any more cartoony. It just embraces it. And instead of having an odd job, they have a monkey.
Well, Elvis is Perfect Dark's odd job.
Yes.
Like, one of the challenge modes in Future Perfect, which is like the third sequel or something to Time Splitters, maybe only the second, there's one where you have to, like, there are zombies with moose heads, and like that's how the infection spreads, is like a moose head grows on people, and then you have to shoot the moose head people. It's a weird game.
Between GoldenEye and Time Splitters was our assignment this week. Perfect Dark. Which is...
Oh boy.
A spiritual successor to GoldenEye, sort of a sequel, but without the license, because they wanted to...
Differentiated.
Yeah, they didn't think they could advance video games with another Bond game. They wanted to create a new setting and a female protagonist. And the name came from they really wanted to create a game with differences between light and absence of light being really important to gameplay, which they completely failed to do by their own admission. They scrapped that midway through.
Well, there's a light switch on the first level, and if you turn it off, you are.
And there's a couple places where you get night vision, and the night vision is pretty
useful
interesting.
Useful in those spots?
I mean... It's really interesting the way it goes, because if you have it on in, like, sunlight, you can't see anything, like,
that's
real night
normal
vision.
Night vision.
Well, not Call of Duty night vision.
Yeah, it is.
It's much worse in Perfect Dark than in Call of Duty. But it tends to, like, the way the light works is they're obviously cheating a lot, because they're on an N64, which makes for some interesting stuff. Also, there are lots of places where they, like, shine bright lights in your face to make it hard to see stuff. So, like, they definitely did some stuff with it, but...
On the other hand, I don't think nearly as much as they're going for. Your protagonist, by the way, is Joanna Dark, which is how that's all they. And she has a perfect training record, which is how they. Yeah, see what they did there.
So
where did you find that?
That's in the game.
Yeah. Oh, I must have missed that.
So yeah, the story is you're Joanna Dark, and
you work for Datadyne.
No, you work for Carrington Institute against Datadyne.
Datadyne are bad guys, so
for reasons.
You go and sneak around and do stuff that your boss tells you to.
And also aliens and the president.
So the setting is very cyberpunk. They cited Ghost in the Shell and Philip K. Dick as their prime
I wouldn't have guessed. I can really see the Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed it, but hearing that, you totally...
It has flying cars, but it's not in the Jetsons way. It's definitely in the future. And also there are aliens, which, like, the main character finds weird, but... Her boss tells her not to ask any questions, and then she just doesn't. Like, she's like,
a model employee.
That's why she has a perfect training record.
She's like, oh, you speak our language? And the alien says yes, and then it's just accepted, okay. And later it's like, oh, I can trust the president with our alien friend.
Clearly. But which president?
My point is the setting is pretty cool, but the story to this game, they don't even... like, try to tell it to you.
Well, it's like a bunch of set pieces, and they, like, try to cobble it together, but...
Well, each mission is its own, like, self-contained thing. There's not really anything that they talk about to link the mission.
Look, there is, like, through line. Like, there's this conspiracy that apparently is to kidnap the president, even though they don't say anything about kidnapping the president.
The problem is...
But then you go to the president, and you're like, President, this guy is trying to kidnap you. You can't just say that. You must have evidence. Here. Oh, okay. Let's go.
All this stuff is happening, but you're removed from it, so you can't really see what's going on because there's like three walls, a vent, and a guard standing in front of the actual storyline, so you're not sure what's going on.
I almost feel like they tacked it on after, like, they came up with a bunch of levels and like, oh crap, games need a plot, right? And then they just like...
But games don't need a plot. Look, what's the plot to Castlevania?
Exactly.
Dracula needs a killing.
That's my point, is that games don't need a plot, and I feel like this suffers for the attempted addition of one.
Well, I think it's because it has that spiritual successor to GoldenEye, where GoldenEye had a plot.
GoldenEye didn't follow the movie, really, though, so...
Well, most good Titan games don't.
Touche.
Did you play Spider-Man 2? Because Mysterio wasn't in that movie, but...
I did not.
Mysterio is basically just making video game challenges and telling Spider-Man he's not smart enough to solve them.
So he's the Riddler, is what I'm hearing.
But you defeat him by, like, noticing him in a convenience store and just Mysterio-kidding him and then webbing him up for the police. That's how that storyline wraps up.
Literally.
Yes.
In wet... Okay, anyway. So... Perfect Dark was like the shit back in the late 90s.
We played the hell out of this game when we were kids.
Like most sequels, it really didn't get as much recognition as GoldenEye.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like...
People knew what GoldenEye was forever. Perfect Dark is just the sequel to it.
Maybe it's because I played a lot more of it, but I feel GoldenEye was, I don't know, one, the superior game, if only because of the setting and the ridiculous weapons.
You mean Perfect Dark was the superior game?
Yeah, what did I say?
The other way.
Okay, yeah, no. Whatever I said earlier, that's a lie.
Well, I agree, but it's also the latter one. But not as many people played it, because A, it didn't have the brand recognition.
So people didn't know what it was.
But it was so cool.
I remember when Chris first mentioned it. He's like, let's play Perfect Dark. I'm like, what the hell is Perfect Dark? Well, I didn't say that because I was like 10. But, you know, what's Perfect Dark? You don't know what it is.
But it's got, like, all the cool...
Trank gun,
electronic
FTW
stuff, and it's so futury.
One of the major gimmicks of the game is every weapon has an alternate fire mode.
Which is actually really cool.
Not every weapon.
Well, the box says every weapon, so f*** you.
Wait, what weapon doesn't?
The sniper rifle doesn't, actually.
I thought it had zoom. I thought that was its secondary fire.
The sniper rifle, for some reason, does not have a secondary fire.
Okay, well... Are you sure it doesn't fire one other shell?
It doesn't.
It's like that one gun from Outlaw Star, except...
The caster?
Except you have no other shells.
It doesn't. It's weird. It does not have a secondary fire. You'd think it'd have the used scope as a secondary fire, but it doesn't.
So, like, one of them is a machine gun that's alternate fire is empty the clip.
One of them is a machine gun whose alternate fire is throw it as a proximity mine in front of you.
But it is not as awesome as the Magnum's secondary fire.
Pistol whip?
Hit somebody in the face with the gun.
Lots of the pistols have pistol whip as their secondary fire.
I think the only one that doesn't is the MagSec, which has the 3-round burst.
The Phoenix is a pistol. That has explosive rounds.
I forgot about the Phoenix.
You have alien guns, because as we mentioned, there are aliens for some reason. One of which is the Farsight, which sees through walls and shoots through walls.
And it's a one-hit kill.
It's OP in heavily populated versus matches. Less so in... As we found out tonight, sparsely populated versus
matches.
Because
people can find you?
Well, it's more that you can't find other people, I think, is the problem.
It's really hard to aim that gun.
Well, it's because it's hard to aim in general.
That is true.
The controls are... It's on an N64. You can play the 360 remake like Zach and I did, and that's a lot better, but it's still got some major issues. One being that when you zoom to shoot, it locks your view where you zoomed in, so you have to hold the control stick to the right or left and, like... pinpoint on the thing. It's hard to say. Like, if you let go of the control stick, it will default to where you started zooming in, which is terrible.
Yeah, it's really finicky.
Turns into a rail shooter when you try to aim.
It is really, really finicky when you're doing that.
It was necessary at the time, but oh man, dual axis movement that we've developed since is so much better.
Well, they had dual axis movement then. Remember the C buttons to strafe and look up and down?
Yeah, I really wish I could have changed that to, like, the C buttons to, like, turn. I don't know. I feel like that would have been better, but I don't know. I can't experiment with it. So, basically, this left and right C button, if you've never held an N64 controller, it's got, like, three prongs on it. The left prong is almost always useless. So the center prong has an analog stick, and the right prong has all your buttons.
Well, the center prong also has the Z, which is your trigger.
But the C buttons are supposed to be, like, ancillary buttons. Like, the main buttons are supposed to be A and B, and C was kind of, like, off to the side, but there's actually a major movement mechanic in this game. And you actually move faster while strafing, which is awkward, but...
I think that might just be because the control sticks for the N64 controllers we're using are worn out.
Well, this was even in an emulator with a 360 controller. You move faster while strafing. Somehow you grapevine faster than you can run forward, but
you're very well trained.
Perfectly trained.
C up makes you aim up, which is almost always useless, and C down makes you aim down, which is almost always useless.
There are lots of elevation changes in the multiplayer levels.
Yeah, but like the auto lock-on thing that it does, obviates that.
I felt like it was still more accurate if I aimed up or down. Because I would like lock on and then unlock on, and it was really annoying, whereas... If I use the C buttons, I could at least aim and have control of my missing my fire.
Sometimes that'll give you an interesting happenstance when I looked over and I was trying to come against one of you guys. It locked onto you, and I didn't even notice you.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was cloaked at the top of a hallway, and it locked onto me, even though I was, like, in a dark bathroom. By the way, it has levels from GoldenEye in it, so that's a thing.
Reuse your assets, man. People love classic levels.
To be fair, Facility is an excellent level.
Felicity, you mean?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. It's Felicity. Clearly. Because Facility is probably... Well, did you notice I also changed the texture on it? I think there must have been, like, they were trying to avoid getting sued or something, or...
They may have been, because...
Or maybe they're just lampshading it? I don't know.
It's possible.
So, I don't know. Movement suffers a lot.
Speaking of the levels, though, the level design is very N64. We need to hide polygons from you because we can't render them. It's basically a series of hallways. Sometimes you get an open room.
Well, there's that one level in the Arctic where the president's
playing. It's so bad. I don't know how you play that on N64. Because on a 360, it's so bad and you can't tell what anything is.
On the N64, well, I think the first time I didn't get to it this time around, but I played this game like 6 months ago and beat it. I was lost on that level for about 2 hours.
It wasn't that bad when I played it. It's actually a really concise level once you know where everything is. But it's so hard to navigate this game. And they don't give you any navigation tools or pointers on where you should be going.
Which makes it really hard to find the objective that they aren't telling you about. They just say, here, disable the intercom. Which is where?
Yeah, exactly. That's another thing that they added in...
Call of Duty arguably goes too far in that, and it's like, shoot the guy, you must shoot the guy, get over the sandbags,
throw a grenade! They have the other guy standing right behind you giving you directions, like, okay, shoot him, got it, go through that door. Oh wait, hang on, you can't actually open doors, I need to do that for you.
There's a lot of that in GoldenEye, there are lots of locked doors that when you complete an objective magically unlock.
Well, in this game you can open, like, every door from the outset.
Indeed. Pretty much every door that exists you can interact with in this game.
I found a lot of them were just locked.
Some of them are, but most of the ones I found were interactable and openable. I only got to Area 51, but most of the doors I found I could unlock.
Moral of the story is you cannot find your objective without, like, searching every nook and cranny.
I had to look on GameFAQs a couple times to find where I was supposed to be going, because I'm like, I cannot find this.
But at least the objectives make the levels interesting. Because instead of just going through and shooting guys...
You have to do stuff.
Well, you have to find things, you have to... Put gadgets on, you have to put funny-shaped keys into funny-shaped locks.
That's one of the things
that
create
explosions.
Both this and GoldenEye that I like is the difficulty is, in addition to how much damage you do and take.
And enemies on the level.
Oh, and the types of weapons they carry, I think.
No, I don't think it determines the weapons they carry, but it does do the damage in the damage you take and give.
But... Higher difficulties have more and different objectives, which is actually really cool.
Well, they usually have the same objectives as the ones below them. They just have more objectives as well.
And the way the AI reacts in this game is really interesting. I think there are definitely some exceptions where things will spawn guards. But for the most part, the level has a set number of guards who will react to things in a certain way.
That's actually, we'll talk about it in a bit. They have a competitive mode. But I actually spawned behind a set of them, and I watched them all file up to a doorway to get ready to try to block your entry. They failed, but they tried. It was actually really cool to watch.
Yeah, and there are things like alarms in later levels that will set all the guards to a certain location. And sometimes certain events and triggering objectives will cause all the guards in the area that are left to converge on you. Which is all pretty cool. It makes me really excited to play Metal Gear Solid 5 and see if that works in a better game that's more open and... allows for more access, but...
Well, I mean, this game had the open levels that were hard to find anything in.
They're not really open. They're linear series of corridors. They just have...
Lots of extraneous corridors.
Whereas, like, in Halo, you're pretty much always going in one direction. You're not really exploring for anything. You know where you need to go, because there's a big marker on it. You're not exploring the level. Whereas this one, to find your objective, because you can't find it, you're exploring every freaking door you can find and going, is it in here? Okay, that was a guy, but that's not the computer I need.
Does it just serve as an MO sync, do you think, to, like...
I don't know, but when I was doing the thing against you, I think I got hit several times that made it harder for me to get out, just because of the fact that I was trying to find my objective.
Yep, it's a problem.
I don't think it's an ammo sync, really, because like I said, oftentimes when you get to the objective, it will call all the guards to that place. But if you already killed them, no guards come, and you just get to hang out for a minute.
That is true. I didn't consider that.
I think it's sort of just to give the game content and to give you a good feeling when you find the objective. There's a problem when you like need to use explosives on a thing and you can't tell that's the thing you need to use explosives on, and you have this feeling of not wanting to waste them.
Explosives are ridiculously overpowered.
There are also not a lot of escort missions in this game, but definitely some, and those suck as much as
the
ever.
Second level.
And like,
or no, the third level, my bad.
And while I praise the AI, a lot of times they do stupid stuff. Also, like I mentioned light conditions before, they're clearly not affected by them.
Yep.
Which is odd.
More just perplexing, like they move in ways that you wouldn't expect to.
Yeah. It's one of those things where the better you make AI, the more you realize all the flaws are there. Whereas if you try to make something cartoony, you can get away with more.
That's like Resi 4.
Yeah. Well, Resi 4 is really cartoony. So they
exactly.
Get away with
more. I guess this goes back to controls. You can't jump in this game. There are lots of like shin-high barriers you cannot go over.
Well, you can climb over a lot of them, which takes forever because apparently Joe has difficulty with shin-high barriers.
Well, that's one of the multiplayer maps we're playing. There's like this catwalk, and you can clearly see another area below you, but you can't go to it because there's a shin-high barrier.
Curse is foiled again. Well, speaking of a multiplayer, that's the real draw of GoldenEye
and also
first-person
Perfect
shooters.
So, we can really blame GoldenEye for popularizing it, because before this we had like Doom,
which was largely single player.
Although they did introduce multiplayer into that eventually,
Doom
although
too.
It was super unbalanced, and that eventually became Quake, I want to say, but...
Yeah, but Doom didn't have multiplayer maps. You played on the single player maps.
Yep, with all the single player terribly unbalanced weapons. I feel like this game suffers from some terrible weapon imbalance.
Well, there is terrible weapon imbalance in this game.
But that's what's going to happen when you have 40 weapons.
Yeah. But they're so awesome. Like,
I think one of the things that makes the multiplayer so good in this game is because there are just so many options. You can pick map, bots or not, different options.
And you can have up to like 16 bots or something ridiculous like that.
I don't remember. I think it might be 4 bots per person.
It is a large number of bots you can
have.
And
then, you know, all the weapons on the map.
The bots also have different programming in addition to hard, easy, normal. They can be given certain patterns. Like, there's a coward one that will just run away from you.
There's a peace one that'll run up and try and disarm you.
There's a vengeful one who will just go after whoever has killed him most recently.
I feel like there's one that hoards ammo and therefore uses only the gun that they have the most ammo for.
There's a ninja one who tries to hide.
You also have, like, remote-controlled rockets, which you think would be terribly useless in...
On multiplayer in Perfect Dark, what's our favorite weapon?
Man, that's hard. I like the Slayer, or no, not the Slayer, the Reaper, a lot.
Super Dragon, it's a broken machine gun and a broken grenade launcher.
Laptop gun.
Laptop gun is pretty much amazing.
The laptop gun, if you don't know, is a machine gun that secondary fire is you throw it and it becomes an auto turret.
It is one of the few guns that actually made the jump from this game into the Perfect Dark that they added, or they created for the 360.
Also has a sweet laser sound effect.
Yeah, it is. It has a pew-pew sound effect.
Honorable mention, I guess, is the dragon, because you can just toss it onto where other guns spawn, and then people go and try to pick it up, and it's also a proxy mine. So...
Well, there's a lot of fun guns in this one, just because of the design is really good on most of them. They're horribly imbalanced for the most part, but they're fun to play
like,
with.
The Callisto just looks cool.
Callisto just looks cool. All the alien guns have the cool reload.
Yeah, the Cyclone has the most awesome reload thing where you just, like, shove a clip through it and it, like, sucks the bullets out as you It's pretty cool.
It's got a lot of cool design, like we said. Very cyberpunkish and
it's got great flavor, if nothing else.
If only they had bothered writing the story or even conveying it to you. I think they wrote a story. The president's there. You go to Area 51.
You meet an alien named Elvis.
Like you rescue him from Area 51.
There's stuff to do. I mean, there's a sniper level.
You have a support guy who has this cool Scottish accent.
Do you ever see him?
Yeah. You rescue him on the second level. That's the goal of the second level.
No, that's not the guy I was thinking of. I was thinking of a different guy then.
Yeah, this is also the first game, first-person shooter, I should say, to have co-op.
Oh, yeah. I completely forgot that co-op was a thing in this game.
Yeah. Was it the first one?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised, but...
There were probably Doom mods that added it, but...
So I thought GoldenEye had it was all.
GoldenEye did not.
So you can basically run through the levels together, which they don't do any extra balancing for more people, though.
They give you more objectives, like Agent still has some of the secret agent objectives and stuff.
Ah.
But they don't have you do more damage or add enemies.
Can you advance the storyline in the different levels in co-op, or do you have to do that single player?
You can. I think it's separate, though. I think if you go through co-op, you have your co-op progress, but if you then go back and start single player, you have to start over again.
Okay.
They also have counter-operative, which is something that didn't catch on.
Which I'm a little bit disappointed about.
It's actually quite quite cool. It's like,
One of the players takes over one of the random mooks in the game and has all that mook's abilities, meaning basically their gun.
No health and a gun.
Yeah, no health and a gun, but they have all the ammo for that gun.
And when you die, you respawn as another mook.
And their goal is to kill the player, because that is how they can stop them from completing the objective, because they can't, like, kill objectives to foil a player.
Yeah, sometimes your objective is interrogate a person. You can't kill the person they need to interrogate.
Or destroy, like, a computer they need to access. But you can stop them by killing them and being a human, even though you have the limitations of less health on each life, you have more lives, and so you can do things like lie in wait around a corner. I mean, all you need to do is a little bit of health each time, and you're going to have more lives than they do, and eventually you're going to win.
So from the single-player perspective, it's almost like really hard mode or something.
Except for they won't let you advance the story or unlock new levels by playing counter-operative.
Yeah. So someone has to have already finished the entire game on single-player in order to play more of the game and
encounter.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks.
A little bit.
But it's a fun mode, and I'm not sure. I can kind of understand why it didn't go more mainstream, because people would rather play with people. Yeah, balancing for it would kind of be a pain in the butt. But
and who wants to play as a terrorist? Oh, wait, if you're playing Perfect Dark, you're totally a terrorist. Playing this post 9/11 was kind of weird for me.
I didn't really get any of that.
Like,
but
you have to infiltrate Air Force One and, like, steal stuff out of Area 51. And you're doing it for vague reasons that I'm not actually sure are good. I mean, they did clone the president, apparently.
Well, you're like a pseudo-vigilante,
kind of.
The other guys
are
terrorists.
You know, 80s apocalypse business took over everything secret agent. But that's still weird.
It's pretty cool, though. I don't know. Although the plot still doesn't make any sense. Like, you don't know why you're doing anything, and they never explain it.
No one ever bothers to explain it to you. Like, if they're just like, go do this.
Like, if it's supposed to be like you're keeping the agent in the dark for, like, the reveal at the end, no, they don't do the reveal at the end. It's just, I saved the world from aliens or something.
Like, are aliens normal in this setting? Is it a reveal that there are aliens? I'm not even sure about that.
And there are two different types of aliens. There are, like, grays and slightly less grays. What are the antagonistic aliens?
Scaoids or something? I don't remember.
Yeah.
Like, and they have, like, hologram technology?
But how are they different from the other?
Well, they look significantly different.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
Don't they aren't their weapons like the Reaper and the Mauler, and the other one is the Callisto, Farsight, and Phoenix?
Yeah, no, the Greys have all the blue weapons.
Yeah, I think that's the Phoenix, the Callisto, and Farsight.
Yeah, all the absorb ammo weapons.
Orbs.
And, yeah.
The voice acting is also terrible, which doesn't help, and since the mouths don't move, and they don't like do the red versus blue head bobbing. So it's
really awkward,
really creepy.
So it wouldn't have mattered on the N64 because it looked so bad you couldn't.
I think to some extent no, but I think it would still, like, they still do close-ups of the face. It's like, you know, the Elder Scrolls thing where it's like, let's zoom in on this incredibly creepy face that has an emote and watch it while you talk.
He's staring into my soul.
The fact that they had voice acting at all.
Well, they had to use the expansion pack, but yeah.
Like, it was still really bad, but, you know. Details. Oh no. I can only say that this game is incredibly entertaining on co-op.
Yeah, or counter-op.
Or on counter-op.
We never got a chance to play against bots as a team, but me and Jeremy, we played against them on Monday. We finished the game, what was it? It was the 50, right?
Yeah.
We got 50 points. 8 bots combined for a -5 score.
I think we've decided over the course of this podcast that co-op adds a lot to a game. I think part of the fun of this game is just because all the weapons are so terribly unbalanced, like every engagement that you have, and because you can't aim, and because there's a possibility of being able to disarm someone with one punch, like, it's just so chaotic.
Yeah, and playing with friends on, I mean, I have so many great memories playing with our buddy Chris and Jeremy on the Us versus.
I played a lot of Perfect Dark with you guys. I don't know what you're talking about.
Did you?
I just don't remember you. I remember playing Street Fighter with you and Smash Bros. With you and Time Splitters, but
once you unlock the one-hit kill mode.
Oh yeah, that's a lot of fun, especially with the automatic weapons.
It literally comes down to who got lucky to make contact first, and it's probably you if you're up against a bot because they suck at aiming.
Although they're really like the perfect agent difficulty, they are really good.
Well, the perfect bot, the dark bots are like freaking cheating. Like, they're cheat bots. They use things that the players can't access.
Oh, did we mention that there's like a slow time function?
Yeah,
that's
interesting. Oh god, there's a level, there's a challenge with it's all slow. and you're like, oh, crap.
There's also a bug. Like, there are some weapons that cause your vision to go blurry and, like, make it really hard to see things.
Like when you get punched or if you get hit with a trank gun?
Yeah. There's a bug where if you die when you're really heavily, like, under the influence of Fuzzy, then you respawn. I don't know if this persisted to the 360 version, but you respawn with Fuzzy.
You are so drunk / Fuzzy.
Your next reincarnation.
Even your reincarnation is fuzzied.
So what are final thoughts on this game? We reviewed it well, and honestly, I really like it. I'm really nostalgic, but I have a hard time recommending it to anyone unless you're the dude bro who's already played every shooter on the 360 and wants to go back. There are just better shooters.
I don't know, $15 on the virtual console or the arcade, I guess, on the 360.
It's actually $10.
Oh, well, I think it would be worth at least $15. I'm not in any way looking at it like, great, I've spent money on this like I was with Comic Zone or something.
Can you honestly say it's better than a used copy of Halo 3?
No, I can't.
I can't. But at the very least, it does have bots. That's kind of the only recommendation as against to other modern shooters, is you can do cooperative in a multiplayer setting.
Okay. Is it better than a used copy of COD Blops 2 at, let's say, twice the price? See, I like this game a lot. I'm very nostalgic for it, but it's got so many problems. And it's just clearly an evolutionary milestone. We've gone so far since this game.
No, this was one of the first... Well, okay, granted, GoldenEye had all the same mechanics, but this is one of the first console shooters, and I think if you're really interested in game history, it's worth playing for that. I can't honestly recommend buying it.
I would still say it's worth the $10 you would pay for it on the arcade.
Okay,
it's
so probably, if you're nostalgic for it, it's worth $10.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's probably worth $10, but there's, like, if you want to play a first-person shooter, there are so many better first-person shooters available.
Yeah.
We have made them so much better since.
Titanfall!
Yeah, apparently Titanfall is the culmination of all things wonderful, so I'm kind of sad that I didn't get I went and got Counter-Strike, I'm like, I'll get Source, and apparently Global Offensive is just amazing sauce, and I'm kind of sad I didn't get that instead, but anyway, speaking of old shooters...
We were?
Yeah, exactly.
Jeremy, so, I believe it's your turn to pick. What are we going up with next?
Well, I was going to pick something cool and good, but then Zach picked Perfect Dark, so I've got to set my clock back an hour. And I'm going to say, let's play Blaster Master for the NES.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's a game I mostly know for the name. It's in that MC Frontalot song.
I don't listen to MC Frontalot.
Yeah, I know you don't.
I'm
never heard of it.
It's a game about blasting because you're the master.
I think you're in a tank. I think...
Okay, this has some merit, I think. Tanks are good.
It's an old game. It's fondly remembered by people who played games that are slightly older than me, so.
Yeah.
So, next week, Blaster Master?
I'll be masting some blasting.
That was bad.
It's better than a masturbator. This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2014.
All the video games and other media mentioned herein are copyright of their respective owner.
Unfortunately, I don't own Square Enix. You can contact us at ltovg at lasttimeonvideogames.com or Tyler at lasttimeonvideogames.com
or Jeremy, G-E-R-E-M-Y, at lasttimeonvideogames.com
and the best one, Zach, at lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Our primary source of interaction is lasttimeonvideogames.com, where you can find all sorts of written material in addition to the podcast.
If you want to follow us on Google+, plus.google.com/plus lasttimeonvideogames.
If you're one of those weird people who uses Twitter, we are at LTOVG.
Quick, press X. Too late. You failed. The podcast is over.
Whatever I said earlier, that's a lie.